We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
One, two, one, two, three, let's go. Oh, yeah. 1 hour down, 4 hours to go. You having fun yet? Shout out to Cody Decker, my guy, pulling up, blessing us with his insight. And next coming up is Zach Rosenblatt to talk a little bit about the Jets. But before the break, I said I wanted to play some audio. If you don't know who Jack Wilson is, Jack Wilson played shortstop in the big leagues. I think from 2001 to 2012, he was with the Braves to end his career in 2011-2012, which made this really special because last night, Fox was able to mic up Jack from his seat as he was able to talk to his mic'd up son, rookie phenom Jacob Wilson from the A's. And I just want you guys to hear a little bit of their back and forth if you didn't catch it last night. Go for it. Play that.
Hey, what's up, guys?
This is so cool. As Ronald Acuña gets ready to lead off this inning against Brian Wu. Jacob, congratulations. I mean, 2 years ago you were in college.
Yeah.
Now you're at the All-Star game. What's this ride been like to this point?
Yeah, it's been crazy. You know, it went by fast. I'm just happy to be here. Happy to represent the A's, and I just love playing baseball.
I know you got to be ready here with this guy.
Yeah.
You've 0-2 on Acuña. Jack, you coach Jacob every step of the way. What's your advice, Ben, for this first All-Star experience for him?
Nah, just enjoy the moment. Be out there. He looks phenomenal. Your flow is fantastic right now, Jacob. Thank you. I haven't had a flow like that since, like, middle school, so I'm really proud of you right now. And I don't want to mess with you because, you know, with Wu throwing six. Yeah. Acuña might give you some tiny things. No, he's been great, man. I mean, he grew up over in Turner Stadium with his Braves uniform and hitting BP in center field. So this is amazing coming back here for him.
Ooh, strikes out Acuña. Well, Jacob, I'm a little bit in a weird place. I faced your dad, and now I'm calling your All-Star game. Has your dad told you what his batting average is against me?
He has not. You need to remind me.
333, 4 for 12, so.
Come on, that can't be right.
That's right, Jack. Oh, I'm officially old, but glad for you guys.
Thank you. No, this is amazing. Thanks for having us on.
Ketel Marte, who's knocked in the two runs in this game, grounds his ball to second for Torres. Jacob, you hate striking out, I know.
Yep.
Tell me about these stickball games in the backyard where you hone that ability to put the ball in play.
Yeah, going back in the backyard, you know, obviously my dad wanted to play some stickball growing up, as every father son does. And let me tell you, I got dominated for about 10 years. So all the stuff that he threw was nasty, and I had to learn to figure it out eventually.
So the audio isn't great. But that is a former pro player who played in Atlanta. He mentioned his son being in the old Turner Field catching fly balls as a kid. Like, how crazy is that for a dad to be mic'd up on national television talking to your son? He compliments his hair. They talk about, you know, growing up and playing ball in the backyard. There's more to it, but the audio isn't great. If you need to look it up for, you know, the rest of the video, just go to @MLB. I look for Must Listen. Jacob Wilson and his dad, Jack, were mic'd up during the third inning of the All-Star game. 888-808-1019. And if you don't know, I mean, Jacob Wilson, he's right under Judge as far as the batting average leaders. He's hitting .332. You heard him talk about not striking out. Later in that video, he talks about being dominated in the backyard by his dad and his dad throwing nasty stuff. And, like, that's where he really learned how to put bat to ball. And you got to love that. Me, I got a little one at home. My son is just starting to learn things about, you know, Yankee game and Deo. My son likes two things at Yankee Stadium. The four train going by and when they do Deo. And I'm like, man, I cannot wait till one day I'm in the backyard dominating my son. And then whatever he turns into, I wasn't a professional ball player. But, you know, if that somehow turns into, you know, helping him be a little bit better of an athlete, I'll be super proud, like Jack Wilson is of his son. 888-808-1019. Let's get these calls in before I got a break and go to Zach Rosenblatt. Joel's in Bayonne. What's up, man? You got it.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm sorry. It's just that there's a really loud noise, so I'm going to have to talk to you in here, right?
Okay, go.
Okay, so I'm basically going to tell you, like, I'm not really into sports that much, but I'm going to tell you, like, why I'm a Mets fan, and I think why the Mets are better than the Yankees, and I also want to talk to you for a little bit about other stuff.
Okay. Go for it, Joel.
Why I think the Mets are more better is because, you know, the Mets are more better because, they do field day. They do,
field day.
And yeah.
What happens on field day?
Huh?
What happens on field day?
So basically the kids, they play with Mr. Met, the mascot, and then Mr. Met mascot up here. So that's
okay.
Why I like
you
it.
Got it. Yeah. The Yankees don't have a mascot. They did away with Dandy a while ago. Go on.
Yeah, I didn't even know the Yankees had a mascot, to be honest.
The more you know. Thanks for the call, Joel. I'm sorry, I just have a guest coming up, and I have two other calls. I'd like to get one more call in before we break and bring in Zach Rosenblatt. But you got it. Yeah, the Mets are better than the Yankees, and you know, thanks for the call. And call back later in the show, and you can continue to tell me why the Mets are better than the Yankees. Bradley is in Bourbon County on the Fan. What's up, Brad?
Hey, you know, if they would have just changed on the changeup and switched plays and everything, they would have made the pitch better if they did some more exercise like windmills and sit-ups and just regular exercises to strengthen their pitch and their hits.
Who?
Well, the Mets and the Yankees. I mean, anyone in New York.
Okay, thank you for the call, Bradley. They got a well. They I don't know. Y'all are losing me. I got one more call, and then we got a break, and I'm bringing the guest. I didn't know what he was talking about. Anthony is in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Anthony, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you? The caller previous to the last one should probably be in an insane asylum, and the other one's probably living in an assisted living home.
I mean, I don't know about all that. I take whatever comes through the phone. It is a game of roulette. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, and listen, I like the fact that you take all those calls, and you should be taking them, and you're probably nervous because when Craig Carton comes back, they're going to move south.
So we're going to break. How did I line up three calls in a row that were just duds? We can do better. We can do better. Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic is going to join us so we can talk about Garrett Wilson, so we can talk about Sauce Gardner. And then after that, I've got no more guests. I don't know what kind of calls I'm going to get Wednesday night. Another KM to AM. Don't go anywhere because we're coming right back.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
And we're back. Keith McPherson on the Fan. My second guest joins us right now. I've had him on at least four or five times. He covers the New York Jets for The Athletic. It's Zach Rosenblatt. What's up, Zach?
Up, Keith. How you doing, man?
Good, good. Good to tap back in with you, to have you on. Obviously, this week with baseball being in a break, it was just a wide open opportunity for the Jets to say, hey, we've been moving in silence. We've been kind of quiet, but here we are, NFL world. Here we are, New York fans. We're going to sign Garrett Wilson. We're going to sign Sauce Gardner. and you guys can talk about us during this week where there's not too much going on. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's timed out for where training camp is starting soon. And I know they made it a point that they did not want to go into training camp with this hanging over their heads. They knew they wanted to sign these guys, so they figured, well, what's the point of dragging it out, making it a distraction? And, you know, these are two guys that they want to be the core of their team going forward. They've earned it. Like, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of conversation around Sauce, but I think it's overblown. He's a star cornerback in this league. He's young. Garrett Wilson has not even reached his potential yet, and he's been really, really good so far. So this was the smart thing to do and a little positive PR going into the season.
Yeah, let's talk about the players, and then we'll get into the money. And since you mentioned Sauce, I was on last night, and I led with this. I said cornerbacks like this do not come around all the time. And if you actually draft one this high, and you get the production and the all-pro out of him, defensive rookie of the year, you want to keep him. I also leaned into the fact that Aaron Glenn was a first-round corner drafted. I also leaned into the fact that Aaron Glenn just came from Detroit, where Sauce Gardner is from. I am, like, proud of Sauce Gardner. He's a straight-edge guy, didn't smoke, didn't drink coming up, and he's now going to touch some generational wealth. And I just think that all the people that are looking at Sauce and they're saying he doesn't want to tackle. He's not a guy that's going to turn the ball over. He doesn't get enough interceptions. Okay, he's a guy that you can put on the number one receiver and not have to worry too much about it. What do you think about the Jets and how they view him? What do you think about Sauce Gardner as a player? And what do you think was the like main driving force in them saying, hey, we're not going to wait on this. We're going to lock this guy up now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not only what they think about him. I think it's also what the rest of the league thinks about him. Like, if Sauce Gardner hit free agency right now, he would have become the highest paid corner in the NFL. Like that is a fact. So like he's a guy that, again, like I said, he fits the mold of the kind of person they want. Aaron Glenn and Darren Muji came in. They had a vision of what kind of players they wanted, what kind of culture they wanted to create. They got rid of the people they didn't think fit that. They brought in some people they think fit that. And now they're locking down guys like these two and even Jimmy and Sherwood, who they think like just fit the mold of the kind of personality, the person and the talent that they want. And you know, I think he raised the ceiling so high those first 2 years, all pro, which just never happens. He's one of only like two guys in the last like 40 years or something like that to do that. And so when he comes into his third year, that's the expectation. And when he doesn't meet that expectation, it's, you know, the fans turn on him a little bit. Not all of them. I think it's a small segment of the fan base, to be fair. But like there are people that look at it as he had a bad year. He's bad. He didn't tackle. He didn't get enough interceptions. Well, he also didn't get thrown on very much. He didn't really give up many catches. And yes, he needs to improve on his tackling. Yes, he needs to get more interceptions. And I think the new defense is going to fit his skill set really, really well. I think he's going to bounce back this year.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how they use him. If he does move with the number one wide receiver, if he stays on one side. I saw DJ Reed go on Twitter and give him his love and respect. And I respect the guy. The Jets had a down year last year. They fired Rob Saleh week 5. And they moved their defensive coordinator to head coach. I don't think people realize how much that impacts a defensive player and the entire team. And then even the other side of the ball, let's talk about Garrett Wilson. What I always say about Garrett Wilson is everybody he plays with gives him the utmost respect. So when Garrett Wilson got the contract first, I wasn't surprised because I'm like, without a shadow of a doubt, everybody respects his gangster. Like on the football field, you know who is who and what is what. And everybody that's played with Garrett Wilson or against Garrett Wilson says, like, this guy is legit. And he's quarterback-proof. No matter who's throwing him the ball, he's been able to be productive. Let's talk about Garrett Wilson now, where he ranks among the highest-paid wide receivers and why they went ahead and did this now.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised by the number. Not that he doesn't deserve it, but I wasn't sure he was going to land in, like, the top 5 receivers average per year kind of thing, but you know, like everything you just said, he's a guy, when he's on the field, you have to know where he is. I've been covering him all 3 of his years in the NFL. The last 2 in particular, every time we watch him on the practice field, I think he's the best player on the field on either side. Like, he just makes plays that he shouldn't make. It doesn't matter if he's covered or he's open. Like, he's not going to, like, necessarily burn anybody, but he's just a really, really impressive athlete, and he's able to do things that are just, like, you wouldn't think that he was only, like, 6 feet, which he is, And so, yeah, and you alluded to the poor quarterback, but he's caught passes from like 10 quarterbacks. None of them were especially great. I mean, Rodgers was the best one, and there was a lot of flaws with their relationship. And, you know, he still is one of only like 5 receivers over his first 3 years to have 80 catches, 1,000 yards, and 3 touchdowns in each year. And the ceiling is so much higher than that because he hasn't had consistent quarterback play, because he yeah, Nathaniel Hackett as his offensive coordinator. Like, it's just been a disaster around him, and he's stuck with it. And I think he was the one that wasn't guaranteed that this was even going to happen. If you look at the end of last year, I think if Aaron Rodgers comes back and they don't fix the offensive coordinator situation and still just dysfunction all around him, I don't know that he would have wanted to re-up with the team. You might have been talking about a trade request right now, but instead they changed. They got everybody out. They brought in Justin Fields. They brought in Aaron Glenn. They brought in Darren Mooji. They made it clear to him that he's a priority from day one and that he's going to be getting the ball a lot. I think he's going to set a Jets record for targets this year. And that's all the stuff he wanted to hear. And he's, again, personality-wise, like, I've never covered a team where a rookie or a second-year guy is, like, the first guy you feel like you need to talk to when you go into the locker room, because he was just always going to be honest, shoot from the hip, and just, like, speak truth that needed to be said.
Yeah, I love that about him. I loved how professional he was, even though everything around him was ridiculous, felt like a circus. I know he was frustrated with the offense and how the offense didn't produce, and now they bring in Justin Fields, his college quarterback, and now they re him up in a way where it says, hey, in this wide receiver room where we're not really sure about everybody else, we're sure about you. You're the number one guy. And also coming off of Aaron Rodgers, who I said a couple nights ago when we did talk about Garrett Wilson, I'm like, last year Aaron Rodgers came in, and then not after long, you know, Devontae Adams was here, and it was pretty clear to everyone that Aaron Rodgers was going after his personal milestone and numbers, and then also trying to get the ball to Devontae Adams. And, you know, that kind of affected Garrett Wilson, but he kind of just kept going to work, put his head down, did his thing. And I'm looking forward to seeing the weapon that he can be in this offense this year. What do you think about them moving on from Aaron Rodgers? That was the first order of business. What I say about Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn is these guys are coming in, and you might not notice it or see it right now, and it might not turn into 10 wins, 11 wins, and, you know, a playoff berth this year, but they are changing the culture, and they are turning the Jets into an NFL franchise, a respectable NFL franchise. I just think they've already done the right things, moving on from Aaron Rodgers, you know, drafting a tackle, some of the other picks in the draft, and then, you know, paying these guys before they ever play a game with them.
So what was the question? Sorry, can you repeat the end of that?
Yeah, so what do you think about how these guys are moving right now? Aaron Glenn, Darren Mooji, coming off of the Aaron Rodgers era. Like, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, there was a lot of nonsense. There was speculation about him being on Pat McAfee and whatever, and that it got quiet real fast. It got quiet real fast, and I think these guys are killers moving in silence.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, you know, they hired both these guys, and I think it was fair to be skeptical in the beginning, but I think they've done everything the right way, everything that this team needed. They've moved in silence, like you said. I think they made it a point to not make headlines. They've been trying to, you know, free agency, they really kind of just hung back, waited for the big names to get signed, and then hunted for bargain deals for young players that have shown flashes in the NFL, but maybe haven't found their niche, and because they believe in this coaching staff. And you know, they got rid of a lot of the older players. They got rid of a lot of the, you know, the big personalities, like not even beyond Rodgers, like a Devontae, like a DJ Reed, who I think was a great player and person in the locker room, but he was a big personality. And they made it so Aaron Glenn is the face of this team now, and they're going to build this team in his image, and they're going to do it the right way. They're not going to rush it. Like I had a column that came out last night, and I said that they didn't pitch Woody Johnson on a get-rich-quick scheme, which is something that would have worked on him in the past. They pitched him on, like, we're going to build this out the right way, and you have to be patient. And so far, it's working. Like, it maybe won't amount to wins. We don't know yet. But I think they're doing the right things, and that's progress for this organization.
We're on the phone right now with Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic, who covers the Jets. Last thing for you, Zach, can you break down these four-year deals and the extension for people that don't understand, you know, the amount of money or the, you know, yearly money, or, you know, what happened here that they paid these guys early? Like, can you break that down for Garrett Wilson as well as Sauce Gardner?
Yeah, so broadly, they didn't technically have to do this, which I think is an important point, because after the third year, every player becomes eligible for an extension. But the Jets had control over these two players through their fifth year. And so they could have technically just held off and just kept it on their rookie contract. But they just said, right now, we want to extend them. We want to lock them up through 2030. And the new contract, which are big numbers, don't even kick in until the end of their rookie contract. So it really, you're spreading it out over 5 years instead of over, you know, the amount that they signed for. So it kind of reduces the average per year in a way. And by the time you get to paying them their extensions, they're probably going to be underpaid, because that's what happens in the NFL with new each time a player at a position gets a new contract at the top of the market, it bumps everybody else down, and it looks like a bargain. So like $32 million and $30 million sounds like a lot of money, but 3 years from now, it's not going to sound like as much for two star players. And so, yeah, you know, they didn't have to do this, but they wanted to lock it in because it's better to get it done early, show these guys that you appreciate them. And it's something that the Jets historically didn't do before Quinn and Williams in 2023. They hadn't signed one of their first round picks to a second contract since Muhammad Wilkerson, and that didn't even really work out that well. So it's a new age with the Jets, I would say.
Zach, you're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight. The Jets rookies report to camp this weekend, and then we're less than a week away from the veterans reporting. So I'm sure we'll be talking to you in the next few weeks.
Definitely, Keith. Always enjoy talking to you, man.
888-808-1019. Jets fans, call me up if you want to weigh in on Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, or if you just want to talk football, man. Something else I was saying about the Jets locking these guys up, that Garrett Wilson jersey that you bought in 2022, that Sauce Gardner jersey that you got as a gift, like those are good through the rest of the decade. I don't know how many times I've seen Jets fans with like their different quarterback jerseys, or some of these, like you got a Le'Veon Bell or a Jamal Adams jersey and you got to put tape over it. Like that Sauce Gardner jersey is good money. That Garrett Wilson jersey, you can rock faithfully. Don't got to buy another one. And that's got to make you feel good about the state of the franchise, where the Jets are heading. You got to build through the draft as they did and then shore up your homegrown players. And then you add the pieces to the puzzle along the way. And I think it's a great sign that Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, with their experience and some of the great players that they've been around, have stamped these guys before you go into training camp. I think it boosts the morale of the entire team. All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, I already have some people on hold. Let's do better with the calls. I don't even mean do better, but like, let's stay on like topic or deliver your thought, your question clearly. And, you know, we'll have some fun. We got plenty of time left. We are an hour and a half into my 5 hour KM to AM. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Back right after this.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Damn, Kai, you going crazy.
Okay, no more guests. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019, straight sports talk on a Wednesday. We're in the middle of the week. There's nothing going on. I got the New York Liberty game on in front of me in here. The Indiana Fever are down there at Barclays Center. Caitlin Clark is not playing, but I do believe that the Fever come back in a week. She might play then, but I'm sure there's a bunch of people with tickets that thought Caitlin Clark might be playing. And they're there to watch that. Now, I'm about to not talk about Caitlin Clark of the WNBA. But, I mean, shout out to the WNBA. I made a joke on Twitter today. People are like, there's no games on. I'm like, well, WNBA games start at 12. But, you know, for the next, like, 20 minutes or so till we get till 9, I'm going to take these calls because they're random. And I don't really like to stay on one thing. I like it to be wide open. I like it to be kind of open format, open mic. I have a couple more things I want to drive home and we'll talk about. But, you know, in my open, I hit all the All-Star Game stuff and topics. And I was on last night during it. I think we've talked enough about the Derby. It's over. You know, we talked around all those things. But I'll take your calls and your thoughts on it. I'd like to hear from you. So let's get back to the show. Student is up in Buffalo on the Fan. What's up, Student? Why is Student the name?
Because, you know, mostly student, but sometimes teacher about the game. But sometimes I want you to teach me AM to AM. You know, the Buffalo Bills are on HBO Hard Knocks this year and don't represent a major media market, but they do represent a major fan base. Coming from the epicenter of New York City, if you could talk to Josh Allen from your vantage point of covering Aaron Judge, OBJ, Aaron Rodgers, your Cowboys fandom, what advice could you impart to not make this an embarrassment, a spectacle, a goat rodeo, but just represent the hard work and, you know, the small community, man. Oh, because you cover it all, and
you don't got to worry about that. You don't got to worry about that. And do you want to be anonymous? You don't want your name or anything about you said on the radio, which is fine. I mean, you kind of actually just put
it on. No. You can do your thing. It's you. It's Mac Diesel.
All right, bro. So on the phone is my guy, Jeff Brady. We play football together at Monmouth. He's a linebacker and a diehard Bills Mafia, Buffalo Bills fan. Shout out to Dude Champions and the guys over there. You don't have to worry about Josh Allen embarrassing himself or Buffalo in Hard Knocks. I can't wait to see this because, one, he's rolling with his wife, Haley Steinfeld. They're going to look great. And then, two, we've seen enough background stuff on this kid. He was a farmer, right? He came out of Wyoming. Like, where Josh Allen is now as the number two ranked quarterback in the NFL, the reigning MVP, he can't embarrass himself, bro. He's going to shine. And the Buffalo Bills, nobody circles the wagon like the Buffalo Bills. They're going to have a great Hard Knocks. I think it's going to be really fun.
I got the tinglies, man. Love you, Mac.
Yeah, get that. I saw you put that cover zero stuff out. I'm like, did you just put all these defenses out and start with cover one?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if Keith McPherson's, you know, asks you something, you know, you come at the king, you best not miss.
Yeah, you deliver quickly, bro. Appreciate you guys. It's almost
out
of time.
I love you, brother.
I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Yeah. Shout out to Dude Champions. Student body right. That's why he went by student. Shout out to Tommy. I see Tommy on the Twitter. Check out Dude Champions. Right? It's Dude Champions because the Buffalo Bills are due to win a championship. Maybe this year is their year. Or are the Eagles going to repeat? I hope not. I certainly hope not. But the Giants gave them Saquon, so they got to be one of the favorites, right? Saquon is not going to just automatically. I don't know, man. I don't know who is going to be the Super Bowl champion. I haven't even gotten that far. We're just starting to get into training camp. We're just starting to get into the thoughts about who is who and what is what. I forgot that the Bills were on Hard Knocks. I think in-season Hard Knocks is with the NFC East. So we should get a little Tommy Cutlets. We should get some Jackson Dart. Some famous Jameis and some Danger Russ through that. But, man, I need football. I absolutely need it. Just the other day, I woke up and I just felt how it was outside. I'm like, oh, I got to go throw some passes. I got to find some people to run some routes.
Did they never do the off-season one? Like, did the Giants really ruin that for every other team?
Oh, so they couldn't find another NFL team to do it. Yeah, because the Giants absolutely made a fool of themselves with the whole Saquon thing and you know, those phone calls and how that all shook out. No other NFL team wanted to do it. And I understand. Why would you let HBO come in to how you're, you know, making your team and the calls in free agency and who you're dealing with and how you're sorting your money and whatever. But they tried to pivot to Bill Belichick and they couldn't go to Bill Belichick down at Chapel Hill in UNC because his young 24-year-old girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, she was a problem. She was a pain. I think she wanted a check. She wanted a prominent role. And they were just like, nah. So, no, we're not getting any offseason Hard Knocks. And I don't know. We're just going to wait till the Bills get on in a couple weeks.
The cameras would have been following Jordan more than the players themselves.
How ridiculous is that? I saw her on the college football field, and I thought about, I'm like, you know, I played at two schools. I used to hate practice. We'd be in practice, it felt like, all day. Never did I ever see one. I don't even remember seeing one of the coaches' wives on the field, let alone you have this 24-year-old girl. She's just a little bit older than the college players. Preposterous. Anyway, back to the, and thanks for the little, see, you know, thanks for the little sidebar, little football conversation, Buffalo Bills. I don't think too many people would call up and ask about the Bills and Hard Knocks, but we can talk about it, and that'll lead us to some other things. Let's get back to the phones. Everybody wants to talk about the Yankees, the trade deadline, the Mets, the trade deadline, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge. I'll say this about the trade deadline. Like, I think tomorrow makes it 2 weeks from the trade deadline. And it's funny, last night, actually, maybe it was Bruce in Flushing who brought up Rafael Flores, who is with the Somerset Patriots catcher. And I was like, yeah, I'm working on getting him on. I will have Rafael Flores on my show tomorrow night to talk about the Somerset Patriots. And also shout out to the Somerset Patriots. I was just talking to them today. I will be out there August 2nd. I will be out there as the MC for the celebration of the Negro Leagues. Willie Randolph will be there. A couple former Negro Leaguers will be there. I will have the mic to interview them, and then I will kind of take you through the on-field events all through the night. So looking forward to that. And yeah, looking forward to the trade deadline. The rumors are going to start flying. Obviously, the draft happened down in Atlanta. So now the next step here is to see who is who and what is what. I know the Pirates are going to be up and open for business. They made a trade today with Adam Frazier, sending Adam Frazier to the Royals. There are rumors swirling around Harrison Bader coming back to either the Mets or the Yankees. I don't know. Maybe if the Mets need a center fielder, I will say Harrison Bader is postseason proven. He put on a few years back. So let's get back to the phones and see what you guys are thinking, what you guys are talking about. Sam is in Rockland on the Fan. What's up, Sam?
Thanks for taking my call. The last two calls kind of lowered the bar for callers, so I'll try to top that.
Yeah, we could do better. We could do better.
Yeah, we'll try. My question is this. I want to propose a trade, and I doubt it's going to happen. It's probably not going to happen, but I want to see what you think. What if the Yankees send Jason Dominguez and Anthony Volpe to Baltimore for Gunnar Henderson?
I don't think the Baltimore Orioles or the Yankees would even get to a conversation about that. So how do you...
Well, I just want to do the Yankees side for a second.
Yeah, so
the
let's
Yankees
do it.
Packed out,
why is the value of Jason Dominguez and Anthony Volpe, Volpe who's 24, Dominguez who's 21, they're worth a Gunnar Henderson in your estimation via trade? And Gunnar Henderson is 24.
Okay, so that's what I want to... So Volpe obviously is Volpe, and maybe you see some potential there. But about the outfield, so the Yankees have Spencer Jones, who was an outfielder, right?
Yeah.
So let's say they want to bring him up next year.
Okay.
They're going to have assume they extend Cody Bellinger.
Okay.
So if they... Then they have outfield of Judge, Bellinger, and Jones.
Where's Dominguez?
They can afford to send Jason... I'm saying they can afford to send Dominguez away. So then they have Gunnar Henderson at short. And if they want to bring up Lombard, he can maybe slide a third.
I mean, it's a imagination. I don't know. Thanks for the call, Sam. It's not going to happen, but we can talk through it. Cody Bellinger, I expect to be a Yankee. I expect him to be here. And if he's not in center field, he could play first base. Jason Dominguez, they're not getting rid of Jason Dominguez. Why? Jason Dominguez hasn't shown you guys enough? Now Jason Dominguez is your leadoff hitter. He's not going anywhere. They're not about to trade him. If they want to win this year, they need his skill set, his speed. You guys didn't see him run around the bases looking like Saquon Barkley, looking like a running back? He's still a question mark in left field. We saw that in Citi Field. But I don't think they're looking to trade a switch hitting 21-year-old. I think we got to pump our brakes on these young guys too. I know Anthony Volpe has been brutal at times this first half. Some of you are ready to launch him into the sun, but I don't know how many times I got to say it. I saw it was clipped last night where I was like, and I went on Twitter. I said, don't call me with the like Anthony Volpe slander, because it's like the organization has said it loud and clear. Judge made a lot of Volpe sliding in to win that game against the Mariners, that comeback. 2 days before that, Cashman met the media when DJ got DFA'd and he endorsed Anthony Volpe and even harkened back to what he said to Joel Sherman in Arizona at the GM meetings 2 years ago. And Aaron Boone has defended him and told you he's elite. And like I said, they grade him on a curve. They grade him on a curve, and I understand that because he is their own, homegrown. Their first-round pick, he's making $879,000. He's 24 years old. They chose to develop him at the major league level, and he's taking his lumps. But it's in there, and they're going to try and get it out of him. And you keep hearing people talk about, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. or Gunnar Henderson or Corbin Carroll or C.J. Abrams or Zach Neto or and some of these other people that Volpe came up with, you know. And what I always say to that is like, okay, some of these guys mature differently, right? And I keep hearing about what Volpe was when these guys played on Team USA at age 18. They have to, it's on the New York Yankees to develop him and get it out of him. And I really think this All-Star break is good for the kid. I hope he got away. I hope he didn't watch the All-Star game. I hope he just got away from the game and can reset. And I hope that he brings his glove and his bat to Atlanta. And I hope he changes his approach a little bit. We don't need you to hit home runs. Lower the strikeouts. You know, I just was playing the audio from Jacob Wilson. Watch some Jacob Wilson. Jacob Wilson is a 23-year-old rookie. And granted, his pops played in the league, so he's got the bloodlines, and having a pro as your coach is one thing. And like that's what we need. This kid is putting bat to ball. He's not striking out. We need Volpe to cut down on the strikeouts, have a better approach at the plate. And we need him to bring back the gold glove defense that Aaron Boone tells you about, which a lot of us are like, nah, we've seen him throw the ball around. We've seen him not be alert. We've seen him not make some of these plays, but they're not trading him. And they're not trading Jason Dominguez. I can promise you that at this deadline. They are not trading Dominguez. They are not trading. Like, you didn't mention Trent Grisham. Like, Trent Grisham will be up out of here. They could trade him at this deadline. Next year, Dominguez is a starting left fielder. Love what I'm seeing out of Spencer Jones. It's almost as if, and I got to meet Spencer Jones last time I went to the Somerset Patriots game, but it's almost as if they moved him up to Scranton, and he realized, oh, this is the final boss until the show. This is the final level. If I dominate this level, hell, I could be up there at the end of the year, right? I could make my debut at the end of this year. I might have my rookie year next year. Like, he started bringing the homers. He started hitting the ball out of the park. I don't think they trade Spencer Jones either. Not for Eugenio Suarez, not for any rentals. Like, this is a longer play for Cashman, bro. This is it for Cashman. You feel me? Like, after these next couple years, I feel like Cashman is trying to win a World Series in this Judge, Stanton, Cole window where, you know, Stanton, I just saw Jazz down in Atlanta said they just elevated Giancarlo Stanton to unk status. Stanton is 35 going on 36. And Judge is 33 going on 34. They just got DJ LeMahieu up out of here. Gerrit Cole is 34, be 35 before, you know, next year when he comes back. Like, it's time. And they are not going to get rid of their young prospects that they hugged for years for a Gunnar Henderson. They have a shortstop. Sorry. I know y'all don't like to hear it, but Anthony Volpe is the shortstop of the New York Yankees this year, probably next year too. 888-808-1019. Bob is in Ocean Township, New Jersey, home of the Spartans.
The old home of Keith McPherson.
Yeah, I don't get back enough. My mom is down there. Hi, Mom. I know my mom is listening.
Here you go. I'm cruising right by the BP on 62nd.
Okay. Yep, I know it.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, Keith. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to know if you were Cashman and Boone and Steinbrenner, what would you do? Who would you trade, Grisham? What would you do at the deadline to spice up the team to give us a real shot?
Yeah, they're gonna have to give up some guys. Grisham to me can go because you can put Belly in center and play Dominguez and you got to play Dominguez more so he can develop. But I think it's more about what do you need. I think if we list the needs, the number one need is third base, a right-handed hitting third baseman. And it doesn't have to be a power hitter like Eugenio Suarez for me, but I'd like somebody that can actually hit, obviously someone who can field the position. But I look at it like if you don't get someone that can actually hit, because we've talked about, you know, Key Brian Hayes or Ryan McMahon, if you're not able to get somebody that can actually hit, like then you just keep Peraza there. We know Peraza can field the position. He's an automatic out. So you start at third base. You need a third baseman. You need someone that can field, but really a right-handed hitting third baseman that can hit for average or power. And then I honestly think you need relievers more than a starting pitcher. I think that right now you just put two starters in the All-Star game. Luis Gil is coming back. I think he's going to be serviceable. I don't know exactly what he's going to be. We'll see what Cam Schlittler is going to be. He's going to be a name that's going to be asked for at the trade deadline, but I would go out and look for high leverage relievers because you need more than just Luke Weaver and Devin Williams at the back end of this bullpen. Mark Leiter Jr. is on the IL. Fernando Cruz is on the IL. They've overused Tim Hill. You want him to kind of be a lefty specialist. Like they need somebody to come out of that bullpen in the 6th, 7th inning that can give you big outs in the postseason. True. So two high leverage relievers is the second thing. And then third, if you can get a starter that can eat innings, or if you can get a starter that you feel comfortable starting in the postseason, like how the Dodgers went and got Jack Flaherty. For me, it's Zach Gallen. I don't think they're going to get Sandy Alcantara. If they can get Zach Gallen, that would be fire. If they can get like a Ryan McMahon, maybe Key Brian Hayes, but I'd rather Ryan McMahon than Key Brian Hayes after looking at Key Brian Hayes' numbers. But I do believe that if Key Brian Hayes comes here as a Yankee, like he's going to find it hitting, you know, eighth in the lineup. But yeah, that's kind of my wish list. And Cashman said he's going to town and basically told everybody he needs that much.
That's good. That's good news.
Thanks for the call, Bob. Drive safe. Enjoy OT. Yeah, speaking of Ocean, July 26th. I don't know if you guys are familiar with AJ and Big Justice. They will be with me as we do the makeshift project live from House of Independence in Asbury Park. So Asbury Park is right next to Ocean Township where I grew up. House of Independence is a theater right on Cookman Ave. Shout out to Zach. Shout out to Brian. The Makeshift Project is a podcast they do where they rank anything and they just laugh and make jokes and they go viral. They've got a huge following. I was able to meet these guys on opening day. I did the WFAN party at Stans. They had an activation at Stans. I recognized them from TikTok, YouTube, internet. I said, what's up? Next thing you know, we did an event in Brooklyn. And then I saw they were doing this event in my hometown. We started rapping and I'm like, okay, yo, you can host the event. So basically, I'm going to open up the show. I'm going to do like a 5-minute intro. I'll kind of get us in and out of different segments of the show. It is the Makeshift Project live from House of Independence, Asbury Park, Saturday, July 26th. Doors open at 6. Show starts at 7. Go to themakeshiftproject.com to get tickets. And if you're familiar with AJ and Big Justice, they'll be there. Maybe the Rizzler will pull up too, but I'm super excited about that. That is a hometown thing. Like I said, I don't get home enough, especially in the summer. You always want to be back down the shore in the summer for the vibes, for the energy. But yeah, that weekend, Saturday, July 26th, coming up 10 days from today, I got to get on promoting that. If you want to come laugh, if you want to come get some drinks, if you want to go just see a live podcast, a live show with myself, Zach Bryan from The Makeshift Project, AJ and Big Justice, go to themakeshiftproject.com, get some tickets, and come hang with us. 888-808-1019. It is almost 9. Can I sneak another call in here or should we break here? I can sneak another call in. Steve is in Orange County. Steve, you're in there.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Right back at you. What you got, Steve?
All right, so listen, when Volpe came up, I was sold. You know, I thought that Cashman played all the right cards, not going after Seager, all that. You know, I'm not going to bash him, but I think it come next year, if we'll give him the whole year, that's fine. But if we don't see any significant improvements with Volpe after next year, I would think that at that point it would be time to move on from him and see what other things are out there in terms of shortstops.
I'm not even against them bringing in some type of a veteran competition into spring training next year.
Yeah, I never thought about that. That makes sense. Oh, yeah.
Maybe to push him a little bit, like, if he doesn't figure it out, this is the New York Yankees. It's the marquee position. It's the shortstop of the New York Yankees. Like, nobody just gets to go out there and underperform for the sake of, oh, he's developing, he's young. I think he knows that. We know that. But he's so cost effective. Like,
yes.
Until he hits arbitration, that's another thing, too. He's arbitration eligible next year in 2026. So we'll see what he cost them then, and if he's not producing, they won't. They're, you know, I was surprised that they actually moved on from DJ when they did, even though that was overdue. This is, like I'm saying, this is a championship window, and A-Rod just was quoted saying you can't win a World Series with a shortstop hitting 215. Like, the average has to come up. Volpe cannot lead the league in runners left on base. That is the most damning stat. When they flash that, that number is like 160 now. In the first half, runners in scoring position left on base. That's crazy.
I agree. Yeah. Oh.
Thanks for the call, Steve. We got to break it down here. 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. This is KM to AM. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes?
check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.